Do you think that couple's going to have some slip-ups right from the get-go, right? Now, the thing is, this is not a marriage series. We're talking about all sorts of relationships, but that video, I'm like, that's it. That's hilarious, right? Because we come into relationships with expectations, don't we? We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning as we're walking through this together. Now we're in this series. We're talking about the missteps, right? We want to avoid missteps in important relationships, and we are talking about more than just marriage. We're talking about singleness, and I'm going to talk to the singles a little bit, all right, today. Everybody ready for that one? We're going to talk about relationships with coworkers, friendships, classmates, you name it. This is a relationship series, not just a single. We're talking about all the principles. Now today, as we're talking about that, I will say that if I miss a relationship as I'm talking and preaching, it's probably because I forgot. you guys don't know, sometimes like what I say up here isn't on my notes, right? And sometimes like I get into stuff and I'm like, okay, we're going to go into this. Let's go for it. And so today, I want you to pretend that we're just having a conversation, right? That we're just kind of hanging out together, and I want to give you some good advice. Anybody like good advice? Okay, if you like bad advice, we got issues, right? All right, so like if that's you, we'll talk to you later about that. Last week, we talked about dealing with difficult people. We talked about the balance in relationships, that sometimes we have to create boundaries, healthy boundaries with people who are extremely difficult or harmful in our lives, that it's okay to create healthy boundaries in relationships and to communicate those to individuals, whether it's friends or coworkers or whoever it might be, right? And we talked about a little bit about us, that we need to walk in humility, right? And that's us reminding ourselves those times where we were the person that kind of sucked the life out of somebody else, that all of us have been on that journey or have done that in other people. So it helps us show grace to other people. So we're learning about these things, and we're going to continue to learn about them over this whole series, okay? So we've got 4 more weeks, I mean, including today. And this morning, some of you, you're like, okay, I love it when Tim gets in the scripture. Usually we have a large chunk of scripture. This morning, I'm kind of introducing a concept. And so there's going to be a little bit of scripture this morning. So if you think, Tim didn't really talk a whole lot about it, it's in there, and we'll get to it by the end, okay? So if you're waiting, don't be like, this is just Tim's good advice. That's not all it is, all right? We're getting into God's response into the things that we experience. And then the next 2 weeks, we're going to be in one large passage for 2 Sundays. We're going to dive deep into it about relationships. So just giving you that heads up of what's going on. Now, this morning, I am talking about relationships, and I have these 2 boxes up here. I always give credit where credit's due, because this week I watched a message from a pastor I follow quite a bit. His name's Andy Stanley, some of the stuff I'm going to be talking through are things that I learned from him. I'm like, that's brilliant. So if it's brilliant, I want to reuse it. Okay, so I want to teach you guys some things that I've learned, because the reality is in our life, this box right here is our life, isn't it? Like we live a life full of hopes, dreams, and desires. And we put things in this box in our life of the things that we hope for, you know? As we grow up, there's these dreams that we have. Man, I hope one day I experience this or go here or meet this person or whatever it might be. And then we also have desires, which are kind of those deep kind of inset, like emotional needs, like the desires of our heart that we want to see happen. And the thing is, with these hopes, dreams, and desires, they don't just stay in our box, right? And we're talking about relationships this morning. And typically what happens is we take what is in our box and we put them into our relationship, right? Whether it's a friendship or marriage, dating, whatever it might be, we put these expectations on other people. So for you, it might be friendships, right? So friendships are usually about emotions. So I have some emoticons. Maybe I need goofy people around me, right? So you just want some goofy people, but the expectation, they're just going to make me laugh till I cry a lot, right? Like, I just want friends that we're just having a good time, and maybe they just make me feel like, that's the, like teary-eyed, like, full of emotions. So we put an expectation on friends. It's like, I hope I always experience those things when I'm with my friends, and so that's my hope, dream, and desire for my friendships. And maybe as you grow, maybe you have a desire for what kind of car you're going to drive, right? This is a dream of mine. This is a McLaren P1. I think it's the, it's the P1. All right, so this is my car, not yours. And so you get the truck, right? So I don't know, you have dreams about what you might drive and what kind of car you'll have. You know, anybody remember your first car? Right, your first car, there's just memories. That moment of freedom, oh my gosh. I got to go, I could go on a huge tangent. But anyways, cars, right? We have dreams and expectations of you know, maybe I'll start with the truck, and someday I'll get to the nice sports car or whatever that might be. And so you put those maybe in your expectation, maybe in a marriage. This is what I'm going to drive. This is what she's going to drive, and this is whatever. And we put those expectations in, or maybe you think about dating and marriage. It's that video is hilarious because a lot of times people go into those kind of relationships and they already have an idea of like, okay, so who's going to do what? Like, who's going to be the one that cleans, right? Who's going to be the cleaner in the house? And you don't talk about that in premarital counseling. And then until it's like, who's cleaning the house? You're like, well, I'm not cleaning. Well, you're cleaning. Well, my mom did it. Well, you know, you're supposed to do it. And so it's like this expectation happens, and we so put that in our relationship bucket. Like, who's going to take care of those kind of things around me in my life? And maybe if you're married, right, like maybe you have a dream someday. I want to have a baby. I want to have kids. I didn't know it made sound. Can you hear that? That's hilarious. That freaked me out for a second. It's real. Ah! So a lot of people have that expectation. Like, I want to have kids someday. And so that goes in maybe that relationship box, that dating, engagement. Like, someday I dream of having kids. Someone's like, you know, you get in those relationships, we're going to have one kid. Well, I want to have 17 kids. It's like, what are you thinking? And so we put that into those relationships. Maybe it's how you spend your time, right? You have expectations and friendships, how we're going to spend our time together and what that's going to look like, or in our dating relationship or marriage or singleness, whatever it might be. We have expectations for when you're going to be with me and what my time and how you're going to use your time. And so we put that hope and dream of how our time is going to work in there, and maybe travel, you know? Maybe you're like, I'm definitely going to Hawaii. I won't look at my mother-in-law because I've been trying to talk her into taking us for a long time. So Hawaii, like maybe we're going, or whatever it might be, maybe you have expectations of a relationship. Like, someday we're going to travel somewhere, or I want to do that. And somebody's like, well, I just want to stay in the United States. I want to fly. I can only drive. I'm not comfortable doing that. And so different expectation relationships come into traveling. Maybe it's with coworkers, right? So maybe in the office, you want to like actually open this and shoot it at some of your coworkers, right? Or whatever it might be. But you have expectation of how we're going to work together, like what it's going to look like. And we're going to be okay. We're going to get along. You're going to do your job. I'm going to do my job. And so we put that in that relationship of expectations. This is probably a big one, especially in relationships. It's who's holding the checkbook, right? Who is spending, and who's the saver, and who's in charge of what's going where. And so we put that expectation in relationships of maybe with friendships, how are we splitting up the tab at the end of the dinner, or how, you know, and so like we put that in there. Probably one of the most difficult ones is dealing with conflict, right? And so we bust out the gloves, and it's like, are we going to use them, or are we just holding them and looking at them? Like, what do we, like, because like for me growing up, it might have been this way, and for you when you dealt with conflict, you saw people do it that way. And so you have different expectations in that relationship. How are we going to deal with conflict? Some people, their households are just loud all the time, and when blow-ups happen, we just yelled and yelled and yelled, and then when we're done, and like we hugged, we're good. And maybe somebody else is like, we never did that. We kind of stuffed it all down, and nobody talked, and so we just kind of, right? So we have different expectations of how we're going to deal with problems and conflict and all that kind of stuff. And so we put all of our hopes, dreams, desires, all these things into relationships. And so often these things that we pull out and these expectations, they are built upon our past, right? Whether they're one of two things usually. One might be they're hopes that we have because we've seen good things and we want those good things in our life, right? And so we have, you know, a hope of like, I've seen this, or I saw my parents live like this and it was good and I want that. And so we put that hope and dream and desire in us, or it's either that, or it's the things we want to avoid because we've seen hurts and pains from other people, and we've experienced things, and those wounds have kind of gathered in our lives. So like, well, my parents or my family was like this, and I definitely don't want that, so I'm going to push hard to have a different dream and desire, right? And so you push hard against those broken things that you saw growing up. So this box becomes, in our relationships, the box full of those things that we either really hope for because we've seen good, or we want to avoid the bad, and so we want these things in our life, right? Now, here's the thing. When we take all the things out of our box and we put them into relationships, What we do to the people that we put these things on can be so hurtful, right? Because for you, it's like, here's all my hopes and dreams. I hope you do them. And if you do, yay, this is awesome, right? Because now you're getting your needs met and things are great. But the person you hand them to, it's not just a relationship now. It's all expectations, right? So you're handing this to them and they're picking up like, oh my gosh, this is heavy. Like, this is a lot. How am I going to fulfill all this? And the reality is the closer the relationship, the more expectations you put on that person, right? If it's an acquaintance, you may just have a small expectation. If it's a coworker, you may have a few more expectations and hopes and dreams and desires for that relationship, right? If you're dating, it's getting a little closer, isn't it? Engaged, marriage, that's probably the closest relationship, should be, right, that you experience here. And so usually that relationship gets the heaviest box of expectations. But no matter the relationship, we are doing that, right? Now, when we do that, it's unfortunate because what we're doing is we're setting up the other person for failure, right? Here's all my hopes, dreams, and desires. And I hope you fulfill them for me. You can fill in the blanks here because this is the first one. When we put our expectations on someone else, we set them up for failure. When we take all the hopes, dreams in our box, put it into a relationship, and then lay those expectations on others, we are setting them up for failure. It's kind of a picture of a debt-debtor relationship at that point, right? Like when you put an expectation on somebody, you kind of put them in relational debt until they meet it, right? Well, we're below here. We got a negative account here because you didn't get me that card at Valentine's Day. So when you give me that card at Valentine's Day, it just now you're breaking even. You're not even in the plus yet. You just kind of barely met that expectation. And so what it does is it sets up the other person for failure. I'm not talking from personal, okay? Although I have made mistakes on Valentine's Day and I've learned my lessons. By the way, guys, it's coming up real soon. Notice I said, guys, it's coming up really soon, okay? Helping a brother out. But when we do that, though, right? Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Expectations lead to hurts in relationships, even unintentionally. A good person can be left hanging in a relationship because they had an unrealistic expectation put upon them, and they don't know what to do about it. They're just carrying that heavy box in that relationship. See, the definition of expectation is this. It's a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future, right? That's an expectation, a strong desire that this will come true. And some of us have lived our whole life with certain dreams, hopes, you know, that have become expectations, but they have not been fulfilled, and some of them will never be fulfilled. And so when we give that to other people, it will never come true. And so you live kind of with a sense of emptiness because, oh, that thing hasn't happened. And that's no way to live, right? That's no way to live in relationships. There's no way for us to live and experience that. All my hopes and dreams and desires on somebody else is heavy. Now, I know this is connecting, right? That's why I'm like, that's a brilliant picture right there. I've never seen it this way before. Of what we do in relationships. Now, hopes and dreams, desires. I want to talk to the singles in the room, okay? Because I think all of us growing up, typically, have a dream of one day finding the one, right? Like this is the whole myth. It's a myth, by the way, of the one. That one will help fulfill all these hopes and dreams. And when we think about those who are single, let me just talk to you for a minute. All right, let's have some fun. So first off, let me ask you a question. Who in here is single? Just show of hands. Show your hands right now. Just, I'm trying to help you out, guys. Like, lift your hand high. There might be other singles in the room, all right? NewHopeDating.com. We're going to create that app. It's going to be for you and really help you out. The thing is, like with dating and like trying to find a relationship, there's all sorts of ways you can go about it, right? And it can get so complicated because of these hopes, dreams, and desires that we put things in places that we shouldn't. So we start looking all over the place. I actually found some dating websites that were, I'm just saying, you can find anything online, right? All right, so here's one. If you're really desperate, you can start here at AmishDating.com, all right? So that's if maybe you're not quite there yet, right? So maybe you start, you move up to Farmers, right? How many, you know, FarmersOnly.com, so still country, not quite Amish. But I want to find something like that. What's the next one? Oh, gluten-free singles. So like if you have an intolerance, you can find your perfect mate. I actually found one called Salad Mate, where they'll match you based upon the salad you pick. Anyways, crazy. What other ones we got here? Mullet Passions. Legit. Like, these are legit websites, guys. Like, I did not make any of these things up, okay? So if you have a passion for, you know, business in the front, party in the back, you can find your dream mullet mate, all right? What's the next one? Personals, right? So for all the cat lovers, I had to throw that in there. This is a site I did not want to click on, all right, at all, because you don't want to be around those people. I'm sorry. Somebody posted a picture of me holding a cat on Facebook, and I said blasphemous. That's just blasphemous. So anyways, so if you want to find a mate, you know, there's you go for it, you know, go for it. But here's the reality though, right? Like, being single is hard. It's difficult in a culture and a society that says single is wrong or there's something wrong with you, right? And I know here at New Hope we have those who are single who have been single their whole life, those who are single again. Maybe you're a widow, maybe you've been divorced, and it can be hard because loneliness can set in and your hopes, dreams, and expectations still might be there of what a relationship could be. But that may not be God's dream for you. I think too often, too many Christian singles try to find their identity in the someone else instead of finding it in the God who loves them. And if you're single in this room, I need to tell you, your identity is not attached to anybody else. Your hopes, dreams, and desires of that person is not who you are. God made you who you are. You are a son and a daughter. And we say it a lot here. We say you're a son or daughter of our Most High King, of our Heavenly Father. And we say it a lot here because so many times we don't actually believe it, right? That we just want to get it through our thick skulls sometimes, that we're loved. Like, we don't need to put our hopes, dreams, and expectations in one other person's box to fulfill our needs. We need something different. We need to have our identity found in Christ and in Christ alone. I think also a lot of times, you know, when we dream about like the one, and I say the one is a myth because it is. Like, I personally don't believe that God has the one out there. It's like, oops, I missed it. And if you missed it, too bad. Now you're going to settle for the second one or a backup. Like, it's not how it works. And when we think about that logic, when we think about the one, it's usually because we grow up dreaming of the person that we want to be with, right? We dream about who that could be and what we want in that relationship. And the reality is we should actually be dreaming about who we are called to be and working on ourselves, right? So it is. It's an identity struggle. It's an identity issue, and I see too many people get hurt in relationships, because the issues arise. If you've ever been in a relationship, you'll know. And the closer you get, the more complicated it becomes, right? The more you get to know, the more intimate you get to know somebody, the more you see their flaws and their failures. And it takes work. It takes work to push through those together. And it takes trust and intimacy to get closer and closer together. And I've seen too many people get closer and closer to somebody to then get really hurt because they weren't at all who they were portraying to be. Because I'm telling you, the first date, they're going to look good. If they don't look good on the first date, then just run away, right? Like, because you're usually on your best behavior on the first date, right? And usually you're on the best behavior until you get to a certain point, right? Until somebody farts in front of each other. And then it's like, okay, now we're getting a little more intimate, right? Now we're getting to know each other. You're getting real. Some of you are like, that's crude, Tim. It's real. Like, if you haven't farted in front of your mate, you got issues, all right? Because it takes trust, right? It takes trust. I'll stop talking about that. What are we talking about? Because what happens is when we leave relationships, when we leave a relationship and we go to another one, wherever you go, there you are. Because you take everything with you, right? You take your box from this person, and typically we leave a relationship because they weren't meeting this. That's my mic on. They weren't meeting this for me. And so then we just take it all with us over to this next relationship. Now, will you help me with this? And that's an unfair way to go from relationship to relationship. We take our brokenness, we take our hurts, we take our expectations. And the thing is when we do that, I would say be careful, right? Be careful. I've seen couples who have broken up. I've seen couples who've gotten divorced. And then you find out, like, a couple months later, they're dating again. And I'm like, whoa, you're jumping right into all the stuff you just left. But now you're adding all that to this other person, right? You're doing this. And you're doing it in such a way that you probably don't know yourself well enough to know what you're bringing into that new relationship. Say, give it some time. Take a break. Work on you. Let God work on you. Find your true identity so you're not trying to find it in somebody else, right? Like, be patient with God working in your life before you start jumping into another relationship with somebody else with your full, well, our backpack full of our baggage and our box full of expectations. Be careful. Be so careful. I would... How much do I say? This is Tim's opinion, all right? I would say if you just got divorced, or if maybe even you're a widow, like, I would say wait 3 years at least before you start another relationship. And even if that's what God wants for you next, I don't know. Scripture gives all sorts of, you know, gray area on that. But I would say just be careful, right? Because the goal is for you to be all who God called you to be, and for you to find somebody who's God's called all of who they are to be, right? And it's that meshing of those two, oneness of their relationship with God, then bringing that in together. And too often it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. Just be careful. Just be careful. We actually see in Scripture, Jesus talks about this, and Paul talks about this to the singles, that there is a better way, honestly, about singleness. When the world expects you to go date, the world expects you to go find a mate, the world expects that everything's supposed to be done in pairs, right? Like, that's the world. God doesn't care about that, honestly. He cares about you, like, individually. And we see Paul talking about in 1 Corinthians 7, 1 Corinthians 7, he's talking about marriage, and he's talking about here's the goods, here's the bads, here's the be carefuls, here's the, and then he talks to the singles, and he says, it would be wiser for you to be like me and stay single. He said, then you can devote yourself fully to God, and you won't be distracted in a relationship with somebody else. And there is a better way. Like, to be single is good. It doesn't have to be seen as a negative in culture. Like, to be single is to be free to live out God's calling in your life fully, without hindrance of another relationship or somebody else. Because then your attention gets divided. Then you add kids on that, and then it gets multiplied, right? And then it's like, it gets harder and harder. It doesn't get easier and easier. And Paul's like, there's something good about just devoting your life to God, and there's nothing wrong with that. And as a single, devoting yourself to the relationships you do have. You have the opportunity to do things that others don't. Like, your hopes, dreams, and expectations and relationships, you get to invest in friendships in a deeper way. Maybe you are an aunt or an uncle. You get a chance to be the best aunt or uncle, right? And serve in those roles to the best of your ability. And those are not lesser roles by any means, right? So what I'm saying, for those of you who are single, never think of yourself lesser than. Always think of yourself as a son or daughter of the Most High King, as every single one of us in this room, right? Can I get an amen? See, no, people don't talk about that. You'd have no idea how many sermons I listened to that were preached towards singles, and the whole thing was, this is how you find your mate. I'm like, no. That's not the goal. That's not the end goal. The end goal is for you to be all who called you to be. All right, one amen. Oh, the single ladies. Oh, the single ladies. Oh, oh, oh. All right. Because here's what I don't want you to do. You can write this down. Singles, don't settle for less because you'll settle for a mess. All right, I heard some amens on that one. Because this is what happens too often with single people. Well, they're the best I could find. And I'm going to tell you, there are some very lonely married people. They're married, but they ain't together. They're married, but it ain't pretty. Because they said, this is what I need. I need to get married because that's my hope, dream, and expectation so I can have all this stuff that's in here, right? And so we can travel together and we can, oh, but I hate his guts or I hate her guts and this is not going well and it's not going to end well. So if you settle for less, you will end up with a mess. You just will. And I'm telling you, that you'll never become all who God called you to be when you settle for things that are lesser than God's call for you, right? So just don't settle. Don't settle. Listen, if ladies, if he's not acting like a godly man now, you cannot make him be a godly man later. Men, if she isn't honoring God in her relationship now, trust me, you can't make her do it later, right? Like, we aren't in charge of changing people. That already has to be in them, right? And so don't settle. Don't settle. All right, I've gone too long on that. All right. Everybody good? So let's go back to the expectation boxes here for all of us now. That was my side note to singles. Let's talk about all of us. This is what happens when we do this, okay? Excuse me. Whenever we go from this to this and we put expectations on people, if things aren't going our way, there's some things that we do, okay? And because what happens is our expectations collide, right? You get a friend's expectation of a friendship and your expectation of a friendship, and then when you become friends and you start hanging out, those expectations collide. When it's a dating relationship, same thing. A marriage, expectations collide even harder because you're even closer, right? And you're coming at each other fast, you know? Typically what happens when expectations collide, one of two things. One, or one of four things. One, we leave, right? If our box and our expectations aren't getting met, we're out of here. I'm done. You know, I'm done with this relationship. I'm out. And that's the easiest one, because what it is, it's you didn't meet up to my expectations, so I'm out, right? I'm done. A lot of marriages have ended because of that, right? And that's unfortunate, right? Friendships end because of that. Coworkers can't get along with one another. They just, boop, I'm leaving. Some people quit jobs because they can't stand, you know, being around certain people. It's like, I'm out of here. We leave, right? Second one is we win, or we try to win, or we fight to win when our expectations collide. This is where individuals power themselves up, right? They power themselves up, and they power up so that they can fight to prove that their box is better, right? Like in a relationship, like, no, my expectations are right, right? Yours aren't right. Let's work out of my box, not yours, right? And so like we try to fight, and so there's four C's that happen when we try to win. We try to convince, right? We try to convince why the things in my box are the right way to do them. So we start saying, well, this is the way, you know, my parents did it, and this is the way I think we should fight, or this is how I think our coworkers should behave, and this is why my box is right, and this is why we should do this, right? So they start to try to convince why their box and their hopes and dreams are the right ones, right? They convict. This is, anybody ever been on a guilt trip? There are people who are brilliant at guilt trips. Like one sigh, and you'll be like, what did I do, right? Like, have you been around those people? Like, I'm guilty. What did I do, right? Like, we convict people. You know, we try to make them feel guilty why they're not fulfilling our hopes and dreams. We control, and this is where it gets really crazy, because now we start to, like, control them to be like, come over to mine, come over to mine, come over to mine. This is my expectations. And then the unhealthy side of it is the other person just conforms, right? Like, fine, we'll just work out of your box because it's easier, right? A lot of relationships, maybe not a lot, there's some relationships where one is like this, they're just trying to fight to win to get their side and their opinion, and the other one just conforms because they want to take the path of least resistance. It's like, it's exhausting to always resist. It's exhausting to be like, so it's like, okay, we'll just do your way. Whew, settle for peace, and okay, I'm just going to conform to your hopes and dreams and desires, and I'll just set my box down, and we won't even consider it, right? We fight, we try to win, we try to convince and convict and to get what we want. And the thing is, when this happens, the person that is the one that's done it, they're feeling great. They're like, oh, that's awesome. We're both working out of my box. I'm doing great now. Awesome. So they're feeling great while the other person's like, I'm not who I'm supposed to be. This is I'm depleting my identity to live out what your identity is for me, right? So there's a winner and there's a loser when that happens in relationships. That's what happens when we try to fight to win, right? So when expectations collide, we win. We can form, which is what I just talked about, right? We just kind of settle down, or we compromise. This is interesting in relationships when we talk about compromise, because I've always taught and thought, like, the word compromise is actually a good word, and especially in marriages, like, there's things you have to compromise in marriages. There's things you have to compromise in a relationship. And so I always thought this idea of compromise is actually a good, healthy thing, and I think there are parts of it that are, but I never thought about it this way, though. A lot of times in a relationship, when we compromise, what we end up doing is actually creating a scorecard, right? Like, when we compromise something, it's like, well, I'm going to give up this. That means next time you're going to have to give up that, and I'm going to remember, so then whenever it comes up to this conversation, what we talked about, you're going to have to give up that too. And so we start keeping score on, well, I gave up this for you, and you gave up this for me, and so we keep this ongoing scorecard, and the reality is nobody ever wins whenever there's ups and downs in the scorecard, right? When we have compromise like that, because we're not getting our full boxes, you know, of hopes, dreams, and desires met, it's like, well, I gave up this one, and so you've got to give up the baby in Hawaii. Maybe it was made in Hawaii, I don't know. It was a good trip. Y'all with me? That should have been a rim shot right there. All right. So what we when we compromise, we keep score, right? And that's not a healthy relationship, because at that point, it's a debt-debtor relationship. Who's in debt to who, and at what time in our relationship, right? And so that's not good. These are the unhealthy things that we do when our expectations aren't getting met. There's a better way. There's a better way. Because the thing is, like, everything that's in this box, right? All this stuff, expectations and hopes and who's cleaning and what kind of car I'm going to drive and how I'm going to spend my time in friendships and relationships and how they're going to make me feel. And, like, all these things inside of this, they're not bad things, right? We're not saying that these things are bad or wrong. The problem is, whenever we put them on somebody else, now it becomes a tension in that relationship. So then what do we do? What do we do with these things is the question, right? Because these things came for a reason, and I think a lot of these things in here are given to all of us, and they're God-given. They're a part of our identity. I think some of it's God created these things in us to long for, and some of them are from our past. Some of them are from avoiding things. Some of them are from the things we want to experience that we saw that was good, right? So what do we do with these things in relationships? So now we're going to get into Scripture, okay? So that we can learn just a few truths about what God wants us to do with these things, with these expectations, okay? I'm just going to use two short passages here real quick. Because Jesus, you know, he's teaching his disciples, and right before he is about to leave them, right before he's about to leave them, we know earlier on in his teaching of the disciples, the religious came up to him and they were trying to corner him, like, what's the greatest law? Because they had like hundreds and hundreds of laws in the Old Testament and that they had to do as Jews and all that kind of stuff, and they're like trying to catch Jesus off guard, like, which one's the best? Like, what are we supposed to do here? And so early on in his teaching, Jesus says, well, here they are. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? And then he says the second one's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So we see this word love attached to all of it. And then right before he's about to leave, in John chapter 13, we see Jesus say, those are the two best commandments. And then he says, this one is going to show that you belong to me, though. This one right here. And he says to them, a new command I give you. He says, love one another. Now, consider who he's talking to, this group of disciples that have been following him. And they haven't been the sharpest tools in the shed, right? They've been having arguments with one another. At one point, two of the brothers are like telling their mom to go ask Jesus, hey, can you go talk to Jesus and see if we can like sit next to him in heaven when he gets in his throne? And he's like, no, like those seats are already taken, you know? And so the pride bubbled up to these two. They wanted to be next to Jesus, like in control. And Peter, we know Peter is the one that spoke first, thought second. Sometimes it was good for him. Sometimes it was, uh-oh. What did Peter say? And so you think about all these different personalities. I mean, these are some rough people, right, that he's working with. Fishermen and tax collectors. I mean, they were like the sinners of sinners in that day. And so he's telling them, hey, this is the command I give you. Love one another. It was an interesting group to say that to. I mean, they've had to walk through together. Traditionally, the fisherman and the tax collector weren't friends, right? This dude's trying to make a living. This one's taking his living, right? In this circumstance, yeah, but love one another. Well, how do we do that? Well, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now it got personal. Because Jesus is like, you guys have seen how I've loved you, right? Peter, you see how I love you, right? Matthew, you've seen how I love you, right? So much grace, forgiveness, continually in that relationship. And he's like, just like I've done that to you, now you guys love each other. This is what I'm leaving you with. He says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is powerful here. So often we hear this word love, and especially this time of year, we get into February, it's like love, and it's all hearts and all that. It's so much deeper than that. So much deeper. And that's why the next 3 weeks, we're going to be digging into the depth of what that actually means in relationships. But for us, this whole idea of Jesus calling us to love one another just as he loved us. See, Jesus was not about receiving, right? He didn't come and he didn't walk with these guys so for what he got out of them, right? It wasn't like Jesus said, well, here's all my hopes, dreams, and expectations and desires, and I'm going to put them on you, and you better live up to them, and when you don't, watch out, I'm going to come get you. Like, Jesus didn't do that. Love doesn't do that, right? He said, no, love each other just how I loved you. You have your hopes, dreams, and desires, but don't put them on each other. See, when Jesus came, he came and he gave, right? He gave himself. He served unselfishly. He blessed. He brought peace to those who he was around. He was all about giving, not just receiving. Actually not receiving at all. He gave. And so when we think about this for us, this is what it means, that for all of us in this room, the way Jesus sees us is the way we should all see each other, that we are all different. Just like that group of disciples, they were all different. And yet Jesus loved them, each one of them, as they were. We are all different, but we have equal value, is what that means. That's what love means. I see lots of different people. I have different relationship with different people. I love people. And they're all different, but they all have value, equal value, when it comes to receiving love and being loved. This is hard, though, isn't it? Can I get an amen on that one? Like, this one's hard. That's why we struggle with all this, and we are like, give and take, and I feel like I'm giving way more than I'm getting right now. Have you ever had that in a relationship? It's like, so what? That's like Jesus loved me. I've gotten a lot more than I've given back to him. Like, this is where the rubber hits the road in our relationship with God and others. Love one another just as Christ has loved us. We have to live this way, seeing other people as different, but man, they have no less value in my life. And so I will choose to love them And in order to love like Jesus, you can write this next one down. In order to love like Jesus, we have to live in, say this word with me, humility. Humility keeps my stuff in my box, right? Not putting it on somebody else. Humility says that all these hopes and desires are good, and I would love to have these, but I'm going to let God be the one that holds my hopes, dreams, and desires, not anybody else. I'm going to trust that God's love for me is best, rather than me holding control over others, expecting them to love me, because that's not humble, right? That's all about me. And so often in relationships, that's what happens. It becomes all about me, what I want, what I need, what I desire, what I dream. And that is not love, right? Love is all these things are good, but I'm going to let God be the one who takes care of them, not anybody else. And I'm going to choose to love this person no matter what they do with this box, because they have value to my Heavenly Father and they have value to me. So I'm going to choose to love. This is what it says here in 1 Peter chapter 5, second half of verse 5 and following. It says, all of you, clothe yourself with, say it with me again, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, right? Because God opposes the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. At first, when you read this passage, it sounds like intimidating, right? So if I'm not humble, I'm going to be under God's mighty hand, right? That's what it sounds like. It sounds like a heaviness, like, oh no, I don't want to be under God's mighty hand. But listen to God's part in this, okay? Why? Humble yourself before him under God's mighty hand. Why? That he may lift you up in due time. Who's the lifter? God. Who holds my box? God does. He's the lifter. He knows what and when I need what and when, right? He knows what relationships I need to have and experience in my life. He knows every single positive and negative thing in my life. Like, he knows it all. And here's the encouraging thing in verse 7. Cast your anxiety, or another version says, cast your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He cares for you. He loves you. We keep saying it over and over again. You are his son. You are his daughter. He cares so much for you. And he says, humble yourselves before him, and he will lift you up. Cast your cares on him. He will lift the burden off. Nobody else can do it. So we need to stop putting it on somebody else. God is the only one, when we walk in humility and love, that can do it. When we live that way, these relationships get better, right? Our friendships get better. Our marriages get better. Our dating relationships get better. Our coworkers, when you learn how to love the annoying person, all of a sudden things get a little better. Even when they get worse, go back to last week's sermon, create a healthy boundary, right? Whatever you need to do there. But God shows up and he lifts you up. He sets you up for greater things. And he just may, because he cares for you, he just may start giving you the things. I was going to lift this one up. This would be my dream. God, can you give me that one? No. All right. Yeah, he said, I gave it to you. It's that big, Tim. Live in it, right? But he may give you the desires of your heart, right? And put those inside of you. Now, this is what I'm going to do today. This is what I want us to do today. Only you know what's in your box, right? Today, if you've been carrying it and putting it on other people in unhealthy ways, today I want you to take everything out of that box and that relationship and that expectation on that other person. I want you to put it back in your box. And then today I want you to take your box and I want you to hand it to God. I want you to release those things to God and say, God, I want you to be the one that carries this. And I'm going to trust you. I mean, love in its perfect form is absolute trust, isn't it? That's intimacy. And so when you get to that point in loving God as he loves you, that you can trust him with your box, now you're loving God the way he loves you, right? And as you do that, I'm praying that some of you get released from some things over here, and that you may be able to walk into some freedom in some relationships, and that you can start maybe in some areas that were unhealthy, see where it was your part that brought the unhealth, and that there might be some restoration that you can experience. Here's the thing with God, this whole cast your anxiety on him thing, like, some people think when you pray, it has to be like so perfect and eloquent and like, you know, I got to sound like a priest or something, like, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Like, so we like quote Jesus' prayer because we think that's the one that we have to pray over and over again. He just wants you to talk to him. And the thing I've learned about God is he can take what I would say is level one communication, like the bottom level, which is all your words you got in you spilled out in an unfiltered fashion to God and say, God, I'm just pissed off right now. I'm just angry. I don't know what to do with this. And he can handle that. He can handle, I'm going to be careful, he can handle you cussing him out. It'd be interesting. Go this week and read Psalm 55. Okay? Psalm 55. And read David's prayer. So many psalms as David would pray to God were just messy, ugly, like, bleh, prayers. He's just pouring his heart out, his anger, his frustration, as the enemies are coming to attack and kill and da-da-da-da, and foe to the enemies and kill them. And it's like, whoa, David, simmer down, you know. And then you get to the end of the psalm and he comes back to God. He comes back to truth and says, but God, you are my fortress. You are my protector. And he brings it back to God, right? He can handle the most honest prayer, and some of you need to have some extremely honest prayers with God about these hopes, dreams, and desires, right? And let him have it. And then after that, humble yourself before him and let him lift you up. Cast your cares, cast your anxiety upon him, right? For he cares for you. And so we're going to respond in worship, and we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. But let's just take time and let God speak to us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for scripture. Thank you for just even illustrations that help us understand who we are and how we operate in friendships and relationships. God, I'm praying right now that you will challenge each of us to set our expectations and hopes and dreams and to give them to you, that we would stop giving them to other people, that we'd stop trying to find our identity in relationships with other people. Free us from that, God. Thank you for caring for us, God, being a God who cares for us and says, just give it to you, cast it to you. So just in this time response, lead us, God. Lead us. Ask a few challenge questions here. And so just stay in an attitude of prayer. Whenever you're in a relationship with somebody else, maybe a great question to ask when you find yourself handing them your box is ask yourself, what would a humble person do? What would a humble person do? Sometimes we need to just start acting like one and then let our heart follow, right? What would a humble person do? Maybe for you this morning, what expectations do you have on others that are wrong and unrealistic? What expectations do you have that are right and should be there, right? And maybe for you this morning, you need to look back at some broken relationships. And when we talk about humbling ourselves before God, maybe ask yourself the question, ask God this question, where was I the one that was wrong? Where was I wrong in that? And then in a moment, we're going to sing a song called Call Upon the Lord, because that's who we call upon here. And as we sing that song, you can just do what you want. You can stay seated. You can just stay prayerful. But what I want you to do is to take your box and give it to God. Call upon him, cast it to him, and let him take it from you. And let him work in your life. And so God, during this time of response, I'm just praying, God, that you will work in us and that we will hear from you as we call upon your name, that we will trust your promise, that you will lift us up in due time, that you will carry our burdens, that you will draw us closer to you, and that we can be free, God, from holding the wrong box or holding others in account that you never put in our life to hold account of our expectations. And so, God, as we take this time just to sing and worship and respond and let you work, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that you will do your work during this time and that we would be humble enough to listen to your Spirit's work in this time, God. So if you want to stand with us and sing, you can. If you just want to stay still and let God speak, let's just respond. Let worship be our place of peace with God.